Thank you so much.
Good morning. It's a real honor to be here worshiping our Lord. What an amazing island. What an amazing place of God's creation. Thank you for watching the video. I was born in South America. You were born in different parts of the world. But by the end of the day, every one of us is the same. Same needs, same emotions, same questions. We are the same. I remember the first time I went to church. The church was Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, Pastor Chuck Smith, Orange County. I kind of was forced to go to church, like the video explained. My life when I went to church was in ruins, because I came from a very emotional and destructive career. You see, music can be a blessing or music can be a curse. In my case, music was a curse. Why? Because I was very competitive. Because I was always trying to be the best, practicing 6 hours a day. My muscles were hurting every day. Why? It's about identity. It's about to be special to the people. It's about to be accepted by society. Because the world is going to treat you according to how you look like and what you drive and where you live. If you live in a beautiful home and drive a Rolls Royce, you're going to be treated different. If you have a PhD or you work in a gas station, you're going to be treated different. Because that's why this is the way how the world treats you and balances you. But you see, God sees your heart. God knows who you are. And He loves you the way how you are. And that is the part of my life that I didn't understood, because I grew up in a very difficult environment. So the guitar was my identity. Guitar used to be my checking account. Guitar used to be my driver license. Guitar used to be my past, my present, and future. In my home, never we had a Bible. Nobody prayed for me. I didn't know what to pray is about. I didn't know that I have a full access to the Father through Jesus. I knew about a lot of religion in my home. My mom and dad used to go to church Christmas and Easter. The rest of the day, the rest of the year, God was not in it. So when I went to church and I hear Pastor Chuck Smith speaking with such an incredible passion about God, that really moved my heart. The first scripture the Pastor Chuck mentioned that day is Matthew 16:26. For what a profit is for a man to gain all this world if he lose his own soul. And that really hit me. Because I was expending years and years and years trying to be the best, investing time in my career. And that day, I saw my life in HD, a life lost and my own emotional problems, questions without answer. And I said, Lord, I don't want it to wander anymore. Please come to my life. And I want to surrender to you this gift. This, it doesn't belong to me. This belongs to you. And please give me the honor to serve you the rest of my life with my gift. I cannot describe to you what an honor is to serve the Lord. But let me tell you today about Mark 16:15. When Jesus told the apostles, go all into the world and share the good news of salvation. That was not a suggestion from the Lord. That was a direct command. And I took it very serious. I've been working in full-time ministry the last 25 years of my life. We've been in 26, 27 countries in the world. What is my legacy? For me, it's not retirement. I'm sorry. Is go and tell people that Jesus is alive, that he's not in the cross crucified, that he is alive. Tell people that Jesus and God loves you no matter who you are, that your past is not going to stop your calling. The Bible said that you are a new creation. I am a new creation. All things are old. We are new. We are fresh. We used to be live with handcuffs. Now we are free. I don't know if you watch this kind of movies, zombie movies, the scary movies. We used to be like that, walking alive without the Spirit of God. But now we are alive. We are free because somebody else, 2,000 years ago, died on the cross and paid our sins. The Bible said that the harvest is big, the workers are few. This is my legacy. This is the way how I worship the Lord. You see, worship music is just 10% of worship. What about the 90%? God can use your own gifts. God gave you your own gifts. And you need to ask him, Lord, I want to be used like this Ecuadorian guy with a guitar. I have my own gifts. So many thousands of people don't know the Lord in this island. And we know they're going to go to hell. Why? Because the Bible said that Jesus is the only mediator between the Father. Jesus is the filter. We have a filter at home. With this filter come a beautiful, wonderful water. Without the filter is all kind of ugliness before the filter. We need Jesus to go to the other side. And you have your own gifts. So many people, you know, don't want to open the mouth about speaking about the Lord. And the reason why, because they think, well, I am not qualified. I don't know enough the Bible. Or just I'm embarrassed to speak. Listen, I never went to seminary. But I know in the bottom of my heart, John 3:16. And I believe in John 3:16. I can die for John 3:16. For God loves so much the world that he gave his own son. And that gave me enough tools. That give me the Holy Spirit enough to go and speak up that I don't belong to this world. That my citizenship is not Ecuadorian, not German, or French, or Spaniard. That we are citizens of heaven. So I'm going to play a beautiful song called Amazing Grace. Why I love this song so much? When I play this song, come to my mind that I was in darkness. Now I am the light. did God perform a surgery in my life. He opened my chest and he took out a heart of stone and put it a heart of flesh. And he called me, "You are mine. We belong to the Lord. We are ambassadors. I am a missionary, but you are an architecture missionary. You are a doctor missionary. You are a nurse missionary. Everyone is the same." So I'm going to play Amazing Grace because I love that. I love Jesus because he loved me first. Praise your Lord. I would like to introduce to my wife, Mary Rodriguez. We've been married for 32 years. And, you know, she's an amazing woman. You know, I have to say that we've been in trouble, like everyone in the world. But, you know, the Holy Spirit, when you put Jesus in between the relationship, everything going to be okay. So this is my boss. She loves when I say that.
Well, you know, you saw that little video, and so you're all thinking, can she play guitar today? Does she play the guitar? No. I was a very difficult student. And so he just decided to marry me instead. And then also, You all know this. Latinos are very romantic and very fast. So 3 months later, married. That's it. Done deal. Okay. I would love to, you know, sometime when you're going through something and you go, I just need a living word from God to say something to my heart. I want to say this. You don't have to memorize the whole Bible to understand it all or to be so spiritual. You don't need to, because it's a living word of God. It's by the Holy Spirit. He can just say one thing to you that can change your life. And I was thinking of in the Psalms, the psalmist said to God, you are the fountain of life. In your light, I see light. And today, I don't know your hearts. I don't know your situations. Some of you might be saying, well, I see no light. I'm sad today. I'm depressed today. I've just lost a mate. Who's going to love me anymore? I'm an addict. I have problems in my family. I don't see light. There's no light. I don't know. I feel good when I come here, but I don't see it. So I am going to tell you about a secret that you can do. They're called spiritual glasses that you have to put on. And when our daughter was little, we tried to train her this way, that if you can see the character of God, if you see the character of God, it's going to get you through life. Because in this world, we live in a broken, fallen world, and you got to put on glasses sometime to really see the beauty of God and who He is spiritually when you go through really hard times. So we told our daughter, make like you have a pair of glasses, and on one side you write, God is love, and on the other side you write, God is good. And doesn't matter what you're going through, when you put those glasses on, you're going to see the character of God. You're going to see the true God, what we're talking about. And also, I would like to say to you today, if you don't know Jesus, you go, well, I don't see that. Well, you got to ask Jesus for those glasses, because He will make your vision clear of who He is. And if you feel something in your heart when Rodrigo talks about the Holy Spirit, about Jesus, about how good God is, and you've not experienced that, and you feel something, you know who that is? That's Jesus knocking on the door of your heart. And it's just you saying, yes, He's a gentleman. You have to open the door. He's not going to force His way in. But you say, yes, I need you. You know, one thing I have learned, you know, I came from a Christian home, but I learned a lot about law. Don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this. All those things. And so I didn't think I had a chance until I learned that Jesus fulfilled the law. He fulfilled what I needed in my life. And He took my place when He died on the cross. There's nothing I can do to make up for that. And when I understood about that grace, that's when I understood the joy of who God is. So I want to thank you so much for having us today and listening to us. And I hope that you go out with a good pair of glasses today too, spiritual ones. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary. You know, in my ministry, I go wherever the Lord opened the door. We've been 4 times in Cuba. I was in Venezuela the last year. Many countries in Asia. Sometimes I go to maximum security prisons, very scary places. You know, the people in prison, they are in jail. They are in a place they cannot go out, because they did some damage, and they're going to be punished. But you know, sometimes people outside, they're supposed to be free, they are in an invisible jail. They don't know how to act. So that's what I love, to go to prisons to speak the gospel. 5 years ago, a lady from Cincinnati left a message in my voicemail, and she says, Mr. Rodriguez, I don't know you, but somebody gave a CD to my son, Corey. Corey is 15-year-old. He's a guitar player. But my son have a bone cancer. He's dying. Would you like to come to my home and play the guitar for my son? That was a very unusual invitation for me. So after praying, I went to Cincinnati, Ohio. Corey was very happy to see me at the door of his room. He recognized my face from one of my CD covers. I played 45 minutes for Corey. That was very difficult for me to play because he has tumors all over his little body. He was in a great pain. But when I was playing the guitar, his favorite songs, he was smiling. But the pain was so great that he was giving himself some kind of morphine for the pain. That was hard for me to play for Corey because I have my own voice. And who father wants likes to see his son in such an ugly agony? After 45 minutes that I played for Corey, I came to his bed and I gave him a kiss in his forehead and I told him, Corey, do me a favor. Say hello to Jesus for me. He looked me in the eye, smiled, and he told me, I will. He died 3 months later. I went to ministry to those people, but they ministered to me. Because when I was talking to Corey's mom and dad, I saw in their faces something amazing. I saw the peace of the Lord that transcends all human understanding. They were in peace. They were not saying, God, really, you're taking my son, the only one, really. No. They were accepting by faith what God was allowing in their lives. And that spoke to my heart in a such amazing way. How many times I told God, God, do this for me. Give me this. Change this. Treating God like my own assistant. And when I saw the humble heart of these people, it spoke to my heart. How many times I complained when my daughter was rebellious with me. How many times I told God, God, why you don't give me just a perfect daughter? And when I saw the attitude of these people hanging there, holding Jesus' hand in the more difficult times of their lives, I was speechless. And I changed even the way how I pray. I said, Lord, don't take away the storm of my life. Just teach me how to dance in the rain. Remind me that no matter what, you are in your throne. And I changed my prayer. Lord, give me the peace and the joy of your Holy Spirit. I don't understand circumstances in life. But you see, part of our faith is to let God do his will with no question about it because he is God. And everything that he allows in our lives, even if it's painful, have a purpose. The prayers has to be for his glory, not for my glory. So that's why I love this song. It is well with my soul. When the men in Chicago lost everything. When the man in Chicago in the Great Fire lost his home, his business, and sent his precious daughters away with his wife, and they died, the 4 daughters. And when he told Jesus, it is well with my soul, it's okay, Lord. You know, that's my prayer. Then when times come like that, I can tell him, it is well, Lord. Because the peace and the joy of the Spirit are with me. I can feel your hand holding my hand. Isaiah 41:13. I am the Lord your God who holds your right hand. Don't be afraid. I will help you. Look at your right hand. You can see the hand of the Creator holding your hand in the difficult times of your life. Because we live in a very difficult times. Weather will change. Economy will change. Presidents will change. People will change. But God never changed. He's the same yesterday. He's the same today. And he's the same tomorrow. And in him, chasing him, I put all my trust, my blind faith. My brothers and sisters, one of the more saddest things in my life is the relationship that I used to have with my dad. When he lacked the guitar in the closet, for some reason, he lacked my heart. When I saw my dad treating my mother very rude, he lacked my heart. When I saw my dad coming drunk in the weekend and being abusive, he lacked my heart. For many years, my relationship with my dad was not good. You see, Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is the Lord, you will be saved. It's two elements. It's confession and believing. Neither one can be alone. If you confess but you don't believe, or if you believe and you don't confess. It's like when we go to the doctor, when we are sick. When we go to the doctor is going to ask you a question. What can I do for you? Well, doctor, I have a pain in my back. I have a pain in my stomach. And doctor is going to prescribe. And then you want to feel better. But if we go to the doctor, and when he asks the question, what can I do for you? Our answer is going to be, doctor, I have no idea what I am doing here. I'm just perfect. I'm very healthy. I don't need a doctor. Then the doctor is going to say, in that case, nothing I can do for you. People is going to accept a savior when they need a savior. When I was witnessing to my dad about Jesus, his answer was always the same. Son, I'm okay. I'm a good person. I don't go to bars. I drink at home, I guess. I'm a good person. All you have to do is be a good person. All religions lead to heaven. You don't need to confess nothing. I'm a good person. I'm okay. Brothers and sisters, I don't have doubt that sometimes good people there. But can our goodness be compared to God's goodness? And that was the problem with my father, that he never understood confession and believing in the Savior. And when I witnessed to him, my relationship even was deteriorating more because he was upset many times with me. Son, I'm okay. I respect what are you, religion is. I respect you, Jesus. But I'm okay. I'm a good person. 12 years ago, he came to spend time with us in South Carolina. And at lunch with my wife, I told my dad, Dad, you are getting old. You need to accept Jesus. You need to invite Jesus in your life and your heart. And he told me, son, I'm a good person. I don't need to confess nothing. I don't need to surrender nothing. I'm okay. And that day I understood that we don't have the power to force nobody. That we cannot change people's life. You know, we met yesterday in the hotel, the manager of the hotel. And I spoke to her about the Lord because I always have an opportunity to reach people about it. I don't like to waste time. You know, I came to this island to enjoy it, but we are not tourists. We came with a mission. The Lord brought us here, not by a coincidence. Of course, we love the island, but my main point is my wife and me, we come with a mission. What is the mission? To share Jesus. And I was witnessing to this lady in the hotel. She's very interested in the Lord. She's open ear. But she's a free thinker also. She believes in Buddha and she believes in different religions, I guess. It's people looking for the answer, for the purpose of their life. And my dad was like that. He used to believe in the power of money. How much money you have, how much money, who you are. So when he came 12 years ago, my dad was very upset with us, with me. He said, son, no more. I don't have to surrender nothing. I am a good person. And I told my wife, you know what? I think we are trying to force him, Dad. We are not going to force him. Because God don't force nobody. He gives a free will to accept him or not. I told my wife, instead to force Dad, we're going to pray for him. And you see, it's two kinds of prayers. The one prayer is, God, I don't know if you are there. I don't know if you are on vacation. But if you are there, can you please do this for me? The another prayer is with conviction. What is the conviction? The conviction is that the prayers are for God's glory and he's going to do it. And we start praying, Lord, bring be my dad to your feet. Father in heaven, bring my father to the cross. He's going to die. He's getting old. And my wife and me praying every day. 10 years ago, my father, in the middle of the night, has a stomach ache. He went to the hospital, and he has a 5-stage liver cancer. I was in Singapore when my mom called me, and she told me that my father died. I was devastated because I love my dad. We had difference, but I love him. I had his photo in my desk, my old man, and he died. But then my mother told me the second part of the news. 3 days before he died, he asked to come one of my friends, pastors in Quito, Ecuador, and he accepted Jesus and he got baptized in the living room of his home. So I know I'm going to see my dad in heaven. But not because he was a good man. Not because he was not going to bars. I'm going to see my dad in heaven because he accepted Jesus. The blood of Jesus. What the Bible said. Jesus paid for your past, for your present, for your future. You cannot change that. You are saved by grace. So I'm going to play a song. And when I am playing this song, please pray for your father. Please pray for your son. Please pray for your daughter. Please pray for your neighbor. God answers prayers. I'm going to pray one more song. This is the more important song of my repertoire. But before I play this, I want to thank you so much from my heart to allow me to share my testimony. Who I used to be, who am I? We speak the same language, the language of the amazing love and grace of Jesus. The song I'm going to play, the name is Via Dolorosa. Via means a street. Dolorosa means painful. The painful street. The Bible said in Hebrews 14:10, that for one sacrifice, we were made perfect. The Jesus, when he died on the cross, he said, it is finished. Jesus didn't die for 40% or 50% of your sins. He died for all the sins of the human kind. So I know that you notice that I close my eyes when I play the guitar. When I used to be in the secular business, I used to have my eyes very open, because if I made a mistake, the critics are going to destroy it the next day. But today, it's not a concert. It's a time of reflection. It's a time of meditate who we are. Our titles, we are children of God. And when I close my eyes and I make a mistake in the guitar, God loved me with my mistakes. Via Dolorosa. Jesus walking in the small streets of Jerusalem with a heavy cross in his back. Roman soldiers playing drums, marching him to Calvary. People around Jesus crying. Some of the people laughing. Via Dolorosa, Jesus dying for you and Jesus dying for me to give us eternal life. Father, we thank you today for your amazing and unfailable love. Lord, sometimes I don't understand how you love me so much. Just I accept it with humbleness, Lord. I pray for this island. I pray for this church, Father, that you continue using them, reaching out the community. I pray for each one of these brothers and sisters that you give them the boldness to speak up about you. Thank you, Lord. We love you. How majestic is your name. We long for you, Jesus. Thank you for this honor to be here, worshiping your holy name. And I pray all these things in Jesus, in your powerful name, Lord. Amen.